Chapter 49. Back to study. At the end of 1976, I reluctantly returned to Australia, with a heavy heart, and a head full of remarkable, cross my heart and hope to die stories of my time in Central America. I did wonder if anyone would be interested in my adventures, or even believe me. The truth was, I had lost touch with many of my friends and acquaintances, because I'd been away for almost 3 years. My terrace house had been rented whilst I was away. I returned to discover that the last lot of tenants had stripped the interior of everything that wasn't screwed down, including the wall-to-wall carpet, slicing it free from the shot edge, leaving the underfelt. Vandalism in the backyard too. The elegant white frangipani tree was gone. My neighbors on both sides were shift workers. They were quick to tell me that the last batch of tenants had used my house as a bordello. They were relieved when the girls left, because the comings and goings at all hours of the day and night had interrupted their sleep. Before leaving for Mexico, I'd stored my personal effects in the roof cavity above the ceiling. It was an unwise decision as it turned out. The vandals had rummaged through all the sealed plastic bags by candlelight, taking whatever they wanted, but leaving clumps of candle wax as evidence of their activities. When I saw the wax, my heart skipped a beat. In a split second, I visualized the worst-case scenario, my possessions catching fire, and burning down my house, and possibly the others in the terrace as well. Oh dear. Another shock came whilst picking up the threads of friendships. As I wasn't a great letter writer, I needed to catch up with friends, if I was to re-enter the life I'd left behind. But I soon discovered, I was the odd one out. In the interim, they'd moved on, and in the best baby boomer tradition, were fully focused on partnering, or parenting, or promotion, in a time of full employment, and unlimited possibilities. I soon discovered that they were only cursorily interested in my Mexican exploits. I was disappointed, but it wouldn't be the last time I experienced indifference when returning home, from living overseas. Truth be told, I'd have returned to Mexico in a heartbeat, but I knew it was impossible. Luckily, I was able to return to my adopted aunt's house, whilst finding my feet. Once I'd recovered from jet lag, my top priority was to clear the roof cavity at Young Street, before putting the terrace on the market. I had no choice, because I'd come back to Australia with the arse out of my pants, and, as a result, I lacked the resources to resume the mortgage repayments. Besides which, the rooms contained too many unhappy memories. Thankfully, the house sold quickly, and I tripled my money in 6 years. Nice. Yes, re-entry into Australian life was difficult, but now the house was sold, I was free to explore other possibilities, if and when they arose. Jan and Greg Sims, my housemates before Young Street, had moved to Adelaide. They'd been lured there by the promise of a house they could afford, because for them, purchasing a house in Sydney was out of the question. Whilst I was living in Mexico, Jan and Greg's second daughter Holly was born, a sister for Melanie. In a telephone conversation, Jan mentioned a new course being offered at Torrens College of Advanced Education, in Adelaide. On offer was a postgraduate diploma of teaching, to commence in late January, the following year. I immediately applied for a place, and was accepted, after waiving my National Art School qualification, and my degree from the Instituto Allende. Next, I needed a place to live in Adelaide. The Sims family kindly offered me accommodation for the duration. They had bought a beautiful three-bedroom bluestone house, on a big block, in Klemzig, and their third bedroom would be mine. It'd be like old times. I was pleased to be leaving Sydney, and very grateful for the distraction study would provide, as I was already missing the excitement and unpredictability of the life I'd left behind in Latin America. I farewelled my dear adopted aunt, who had once again provided sanctuary, as I coped with re-entry, and the house sale, and as it turned out, it wouldn't be the last time. Her generosity continued until her death, in 1984. Compared to life in Mexico or even Sydney, living in Adelaide could best be described as bland. But I had to make the best of it. I bought a second-hand Austin 1100, applied for, and received Austudy support, and found a peaceful place to live with kind people. Now, with transport, financial assistance and a roof over my head, I could ease myself back into Australian life, whilst at the same time concentrating on the postgraduate diploma coursework. Along the way, I met John Brown. We quickly became an item, and moved in together. Born and bred in Adelaide, John was a non-smoking, non-drinking, meditating, vegan social worker. Through him, I was introduced to the Theosophical Society and his circle of alternate lifestylers, living both in the city and the surrounding hills. At the time, I was a heavy smoker, but I knew that smoking would be a deal breaker for the relationship, so I quit, cold turkey. From the outset, our relationship was difficult and not particularly supportive. I certainly had no intention of co-parenting with him. So, whilst I was away having a termination, he sorted through my possessions and took everything he felt had caused problems in our relationship into the backyard, where he set fire to them. On my return from hospital, I viewed the smoldering remains of the irreplaceable documents for my master's thesis and my electric spinning wheel with disbelief, after which I hastily stuffed all my belongings into my car and drove off, without a backward glance. I was grateful to have somewhere to go, once again back to the Sims family, at Klemzig. The following Saturday, I listed my car for sale in the newspaper, and sold it to the first looker. Next, I took a flight to Sydney, relieved to be leaving Adelaide. A day or so later, John telephoned, asking me to return, to pick up where we'd left off. But I had no intention of returning, well aware that if I did, I could be in danger. With my postgraduate teaching qualification tucked under my arm, I was now in a much stronger position to find work in Sydney. The Torrens College pilot course design had offered block teaching placements in primary, secondary, and tertiary institutions. From the experience, I realized I was happiest teaching adults. So, with our nothing ventured, nothing gained mindset, I approached the Department of Technical and Further Education to see if they had any teaching work that'd fit my skill set, and to my delight, they did. I signed up for a groundbreaking outreach project, offering twice-weekly daytime craft classes for women in Western Sydney. I was definitely up for this challenge, as it was an opportunity to apply my art training, my craft know-how, and my newly acquired teaching qualification. I was excited at the prospect. On reflection. Tenants. I still shudder when I think of strangers rifling through my possessions by candlelight, in the roof cavity of my terrace house. And having to face the dreadful fact that my only asset could so easily have burnt to the ground. The frangipani tree. I occasionally wondered why someone would go to the trouble of removing the large frangipani tree from my backyard. Some years later, a horticulturalist friend explained that the tree was valuable. The branches would have been cut into lengths and planted to create hundreds of trees to sell on. A very lucrative side hustle. My adopted Aunt Helen. Helen's house at Gladesville was my Sydney base of operations for many years, following my parents' divorce, after which they both left Australia to work overseas. Helen was a childless woman, who had put her energy into supporting progressive early childhood education. She was an important figure in my upbringing, as she modeled the subtleties of aesthetics, fabulous food, and shared her appreciation of classical music. John Brown. I'm grateful to John for one thing. Thanks to him, I quit smoking, and haven't smoked since. Teaching qualification. The content of the Torrens training has been an invaluable asset. I acquired skills that enabled me to structure workshops for TAFE, and later, for the first Morley Granger Studio, set up in 1980.